Last episode of From High Bird to the Grove, we had a great chat with Andrew Arsblog Mangan, where we ingested a very bad 5 days for Arsenal Football Club and still came out hopeful, happy, and most of all, laughing our asses off. This week, on the other side of the intro, we welcome another fantastic and humorous guest live into our Highbury studios. From Highbury to the Grove is a respite from the wins and losses, a break from tactics and talking points, just good old-fashioned fun, chats and banter and chants with some of the most recognizable faces within our great Arsenal family, telling their stories, sharing their views, and answering your questions. Join us now live as we travel from Highbury to the Grove. Hello and welcome to episode 5 of a brand new kind of Arsenal podcast brought to you proudly by the Gooners podcast in conjunction with the Highbury squad. As you can see, we're back to where we started, live from the North Bank of Highbury, and it's light outside this time. It's not winter anymore, and we're joined by another great guest from the Arsenal community. Seated next to me is a man who is rated by The Independent. I know you, this is all over the internet. As being among the top 10 stand-up comedians in Britain, though he's sitting down today. That list is something even Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Louis C.K., they can't get on that list.
Nowhere near. Partly because they're not part from the UK. But...
Don't let the audience know that. He's worked in multiple venues in comedy, television, radio. He's an author, a writer, a presenter. And those of you watching us today as Gooners probably know him best from his time podcasting. First with the Epic Tuesday Club, and now as the host of The Athletic's great Arsenal podcast, Handbrake Off. Welcome to tonight's guest on Highbury to the Grove, Mr. Ian Stone.
Hi, Mike. So I shouldn't have started talking there before you finished.
No, it's okay. I mean, you know, people don't want to hear from me anyway.
It was a lot as well. There was a hell of a lot of it.
It is.
But you know, I'm a polymath.
I want to go overboard in my praise.
I appreciate it. I genuinely appreciate it. Thank you very much. And it's amazing to be here. I've never actually been... in one of the flats here, looking out over a place that I've got so many memories. And I grew up here.
Speaking of being in one of the flats, I mean, we have some common contacts. You know, I wouldn't call them colleagues by any means, but they're colleagues of yours, Amy Lawrence and James McNichol. Yeah. And I just assumed when you agreed to come do a face-to-face podcast with me, given that we'd never spoken before, I mean, there's one thing we have in common that you do know about, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Beyond that, I mean, do you normally make a practice of just going into strangers' flats in North London and talking on YouTube?
Yes, I do. I actually go around knocking on doors now. Anybody need a podcast? I'm here for you.
I've seen you stroll across the stage at the Comedy Store.
I'm happy to chat. And the truth is, like you said to me, oh, did you find out what it was about? I thought, listen, we're talking about Arsenal or we're talking about me. These are two subjects that I'm happy to talk about, to be perfectly honest with you. So either way, and especially in this setting, I mean, I don't want to go on about it. And obviously your viewers have seen this sort of stuff before, but it is so cool for me. I'm really thrilled, genuinely, to be looking out over this hallowed turf.
Well, the thrill is all mine. And, you know, it's especially nice because the great guests that we've had on in the first four episodes, Amy, Clive, Arsblog, Alan Smith. I mean, they're amazing people, but people I've spoken to a number of times before. And,
yeah.
And whereas this is our first time talking to each other, I've listened to you on both podcasts. I've watched some of your stand up, especially in the last week when I knew that we'd be getting together. And
yeah.
It is, I mean, I was dying. I woke up neighbors at 3 o'clock in the morning the last couple of nights watching some of this.
Thank
I'm not
you.
Just trying to butter you
Thank
up.
Thank you. No, that's fine.
It's the exact kind of, you know, as you call it and as others call it, self-deprecating Jewish humor.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's what's the opposite of that when you pump yourself up as being really special? There's
arrogant Jewish humor.
Yeah, there's no arrogant Jewish humor, is there?
Oh, no, possibly not. Maybe the Israelis. I don't know. Let's not go.
That is not my intent of getting there. So speaking of that topic, though, we sit here in the spiritual home of Arsenal Football Club, just 4 days removed from what you've called an absurd and ludicrous North London derby, a 3-2 win that was a lot closer in the end than it should have been. And we don't spend a lot of time going through tactics and talking about the games in depth, but, you know, that game, other than the last 10 or 15 minutes, enjoyable for you? Is this North London derby ever enjoyable?
No, not really. Not really. Even the ones I've genuinely loved have only been at the end of them. When we were 2-0 down one season, we beat them 5-2. And then we did that twice in a row. Even this game, I don't think we played particularly well, but it did contain Saka's touch for that second goal. Havertz's pass, Saka's touch. And there's no finer sight for an Arsenal fan to watch Bukayo Saka bearing down the Tottenham goal and then do what he did. And then do that with those hands over
there. Because they've just been giving it to him a few minutes earlier.
Stick. Oh, it was a beautiful moment. And genuinely, what happened was my missus, I was watching it at home because I couldn't get a ticket to go. My missus said to me, "You won't make too much noise, will you?" And I went, "I don't think I can promise that, to be honest with you." And when Saka scored, I think they probably would have heard it at Tottenham Stadium, which is about 5 miles away.
I did hear something.
Yeah, that would have been me.
That would have been you.
That would have been me, waking the next door's baby up. And I'm sorry about that.
See, if you've recently had a child, and I don't think that you have, but you learn as an Arsenal fan to do the kind of silent cheer, like when something unbelievable happens. Like if I had been watching Anfield 89 from home in the 92nd minute of the game, I would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It, you're screaming inside, but I don't know what that looked like. I don't want to know what that looked like. But, you know, and I just remember, you know, having my kids as babies or even as young kids, they're taking a nap. Don't wake them up.
Well, don't put them to sleep in the middle of Arsenal against Liverpool. I mean, in the same way, my son's birthday, 17th of May, right? He was born 17th of May. We played the Champions League final on the 17th of May in Paris. And I said to him, "Listen, I'm going to the Champions League final. I'm going to miss your birthday, but you're going to have lots of birthdays. It's possible this is the only Champions League final we'll ever get to."
You're damn right about
so
that.
So far. You know, I mean, I haven't spoken to him in 15 years, but I'm sure he's fine. That's a joke. It's more like 17.
So you're going to tell us when it's real and when it's not.
I will. And also, I used to rock him to sleep with a Vieira song. I used to sing him as a lullaby because it made me feel good and he used to go to sleep to it. So
I still sing my son to sleep with Arsenal chants and he's 20. And he's at uni. So
right.
It's weird. But,
right. No. It's absolutely fine. If that's what they like, that's what they like. You send him off.
I'm raising him the right way. So one of the things that always intrigues me is how people became an Arsenal supporter. And obviously, for some, it's widely known.
Yeah.
For some, it's obvious. For many, it's, you know, eighth generation. I was telling you before the show, for me, it was kind of a unique situation where I'm an American who knew nothing about first division football. I came over, I lived on the Piccadilly line and I just burped on the podcast, lived on the Piccadilly line. And the easiest stadium to get to was Arsenal. Yeah. And I came and stepped on to the North Bank in the fall of 1988 and just kept coming and coming and coming. And of course that was 88, 89. And so it never, ever left me. And that was Arsenal. But had I been a little bit more astute to the history of the teams and know, you know, kind of some of the details and the banter, I might have become aware that there was a quote unquote Jewish team called Tottenham. And I am so everly thankful that I didn't know that I'm thankful that I didn't live on the Victoria line. There's so many things, you know, sliding doors moments. Now, in your case, growing up in North London, Jewish like me, I think. I mean, you might not be Jewish like me, but we're both Jewish.
Yeah.
And your father, as I understand it, went to every game he possibly could.
Yes.
Including Arsenal, including Tottenham, yeah. One week and the next. And so, I mean, it could have gone either way.
He went to the whole Tottenham double season in, 1833, something like that. And but he went there 1 week and Arsenal the next. And he used to go to Chelsea and he used to go to West Ham and Orient.
Did he have like a, not a half and half scarf, but like, it was like almost a...
No one had.
Eight different teams on it.
I mean, he was. I mean, as I understand it, he was always an Arsenal fan. But he could have taken me to Tottenham. There is no West Ham. West Ham was the first game I saw. I went to Upton Park in about 1969. I was sat on the cinder track surrounding the ground, and Bobby Moore ran over and took a throw. And I remember looking up at his legs. This is like 3 years after he won the World Cup, and I'm oh my God, it's Bobby Moore. But then he brought me here. He brought me here in 1970 for my first game, and it was a night game. I don't know how he got me to come to a night game, but what I remember is coming up the stairs and the green turf and the floodlights and the red shirts, and I was gone. And I mean, I don't believe he ever took me to Tottenham. I mean, to be honest, that would be tantamount to child abuse, wouldn't it, really, if he had. So luckily, and I wasn't really aware of the Jewish thing. Tottenham being a Jewish club. I mean, to be honest,
I don't know how well known. I mean, it's certainly there's a lot of controversy about that today, and I've made my feelings clear about the way they refer to
the Y word, and all that. Although even that is interesting if we're talking about that. Now, I've got a friend whose son is a Tottenham fan, and he's 17 years old, and they sing that song. He loves that song because he feels like he belongs. So I have mixed feelings about it, if I'm totally honest. Yeah. Right? I don't have any mixed feelings about Tottenham fans.
Right.
I don't like them at all. But
my issue, and I didn't mean to head down this rabbit hole, is when the two are associated together in a very angry tone, you end up getting a combination of words that can be very hurtful.
Oh no, it's nasty. And certainly the way West Ham fans use it and the way Chelsea fans use it. But Tottenham, they have got a lot of Jewish supporters. So has Arsenal, right? I mean,
that's what people don't understand.
Tottenham used to wish Happy Jewish New Year in the program to the Jewish fans. Arsenal used to put an advert in the Jewish Chronicle. So it never was a thing for me. But in the end, I'm an Arsenal fan. And I am an Arsenal fan, and thank heavens for that.
Well, and as we've seen from, you know, the things Arsenal does, the collaborations that they do, just the way that people have talked about it. Clive spoke about this in episode 2. You know, it is the most inclusive club that I know of, and I hope that it will remain that way. I'm talking about Arsenal.
There's a new book, isn't there? Yep. Black Arsenal.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got a big connection with South East London, black community down there. It does feel that way. It does. I mean, aside from when they painted the mural and they didn't put any black people on it, right? Aside from that, it does feel like an inclusive club, and I'm proud of that. And I think we all are.
It is. It really is. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that today would have been David Rocastle's 57th birthday. He is my Arsenal idol of all time.
Yeah.
I was lucky to see him play. I know his family, they're amazing people. Memories of David Rocastle for you when you were here watching him?
Oh, the Battle of Old Trafford, really. I mean, the goal against Manchester United in front of the Arsenal fans. Also, the equaliser against Tottenham in the League Cup semi-final in 1987 or something. And Arsblog talks about that moment in, Nick Hornby. In Fever Pitch. Just to fight. I love players who care and who fight for the shirt. And obviously, I got to work with Ian Wright quite a bit. And the way Wright talks about him, I mean, they were brothers, essentially.
I mean, that's got to be the next statue, is them arm in arm or in some way together, honoring the two of them.
I think Wright would love that. I think he'd love that more than just a statue for himself.
I would agree. Yeah. I would absolutely agree. And you know, your Fever Pitch reference, the way you describe your first time at Highbury is the way everyone I've ever known describes their first time at Highbury.
Yeah. It's a great grant.
And it's the Nick Hornby. I mean, if you've watched the film, you see him as a kid kind of not caring one way or the other that his dad is taking him to the football until he walks out onto the East Stand, I believe, and sees the pitch and sees the players running out in their red and the green grass and the smell. And it's just, Amy's described her first Arsenal experience at Highbury that way. You've just described it that way.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was just, I'm standing up on a terrace 5-10 feet from the goal, which, you know, for an American kid, you know, you go to a stadium and you're miles away from the action unless you, you know, own a company or something like that. But it was just unique. And that's why this place 36 years later is still so special to me. So we've got 200 special people in the chat right now. Just want to give a big thank you. And thank you to Jared, who's behind the scenes putting up your comments. When we do a live show, I can't really be watching for comments and putting them up, but I can see that Ruth is in the house.
Oh, Ruth, I'm looking at your artwork, by the way. It's excellent. It's lovely to see, genuinely. It's all around the apartment here.
The brand new commissioned piece that I was tweeting about earlier today is absolutely amazing. I couldn't be more thrilled about it. And Ruth's in the chat. Moss is in the chat. Mark McCreedon. I had lamb ribs for lunch today. I don't know.
Is he checking up on whether you're eating? Your mother who says.
Yes, it's Mark is short for mother, but
right, okay.
But yes, and I love that we had a little half and half scarf discussion because I've got a mate from Canada who may or may not be watching, but he'll see this clip. Sid, even Ian Stone, well, especially Ian Stone, believes that half and half scarves at no point should ever have existed.
You know, I mean, look, we understand now that football is very different. When you're talking about my dad, when he's going to football, of course, half and half scarves wouldn't have existed. But now there are tourists. There are a lot of tourists here. And the tourists...
But why do we have to enable them?
Because they spend a lot of money in the club shop and they eat the food at halftime. You know, they're the people who
Have half and half food. Like, have a half hamburger, half hot dog. That, I understand.
I mean, I don't believe I'm going to think...
I saw...
Don't tell me it was a Tottenham Arsenal half scarf. Half and half.
Yes.
Really?
They were in the posh Tottenham seats right behind us in the away section. I took a picture of a guy standing... And these were like the probably the most expensive seats. And he was wearing a half an Oscar.
Well, he should be sent to an island.
Probably. Technically, he was on one. But I guess, no, I've heard it's not one. But yeah. So that's for you, Sid. Also want to say, starting now and continuing throughout the show, as you know, the end of the show, the last 15, 20 minutes or so, we always like to get your questions, the questions for the guest. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
You know, questions.
Yeah.
So please put them in the chat. Start them with a G, and we'll get to them at the end of the show. The earlier you get the questions in, the more likely we are to be able to get to it. So please do exactly what Sophie has just put on the screen there. So you began your stand-up career some 30 years ago.
Yeah, 30 August the 14th, 1991, at the Comedy Cafe in Old Street in Shoreditch. That was my first ever gig.
Wow. That's, you know.
It's a long time ago.
Now, how big of a role would you say, or is there a role in your kind of Arsenal life? How much do Arsenal and football intersect with your comedy and the things that you talk about? For the clips that I was able to watch recently had nothing to do with Arsenal.
No, I did have a few football jokes in the last show. But no, I don't talk about football that much. I mean, it's sort of weird. In the last 10 years, I've talked about it more. But certainly when I started out in the early 90s, football, it was alienating to half the audience. Not all women, but just half the audience were not into it. Whereas now, so I started doing stand-up in 91. So the England World Cup thing has just happened. Gazza's tears and all that. So people are starting.
My favorite World Cup, despite the way it ended.
It was a shit World Cup.
Oh, the games were awful. The elimination rounds were not.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you mean, but it was obviously Belgium and what have you. But that was when football sort of became fashionable again, because certainly through the 80s, football fans were sort of pariahs.
Yeah,
really. What are you doing there? But so obviously in 1990, 91 when I started, it was becoming a bit more fashionable, but even still, it wasn't something to joke about. It was certainly at the start, a sort of dirty little secret, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
We all went to these games and In the last 10 years, it's become much more.
Well, for up until the last 2 years, Arsenal is pretty hilarious to laugh about. I would say, I mean, if you like self-deprecating humor,
I mean, I have a lot of
material there. I mean, how much you could have done a whole show about Mustafi.
Yeah, but I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have said the words without punching a microphone. No. I remember going to Manchester for years. I would go to Manchester and say I'm an Arsenal fan, and they'd boo, right? They would boo. And then there was a period of about 10 years when I would say I'm an Arsenal fan, and honestly, they'd look at me and go, are you okay? And I'd think, oh, I don't want this patronising shit. Now they're back at boo. And you're like, yeah, don't care. So I enjoy that banter. I don't like the word, to be honest with you, because I think there's a lot of football banter. I think stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. It's like live ammunition. You shouldn't be playing with that. But I, as a comedian, we do believe, like, for example, when a big thing happens, like a big event happens, I genuinely believe there should be an hour on Twitter when only professionals can make comments about it, all right? Because and there should be, like, police tape.
Does the same work with, like, if someone's having a medical emergency, like, the first 20 minutes, it should just be doctors, and then anyone else can join in after that?
Well, I think that's fair enough, to be honest. I certainly think for the first 20 minutes, it should be doctors. But essentially, it's the same sort of thing, really. I remember doing a joke on Twitter about how when Luis Suarez bit Branislav Ivanovic, and I said, oh, I always thought Branislav Ivanovic was a bit of a mouthful, right? And it got about 3 retweets and about 2 likes. And I thought, oh, for Christ's sake, that's a great joke. But it got nothing because there were a billion other people all getting in with their biting anyway. Anyway, so I got off the subject. I can't remember what the question was.
No, just if football was really intersect or Arsenal intersect.
No, I have tried to write stuff about football, but I don't think... There is funny stuff. And listen, we do handbrake off and we get plenty of laughs talking about the game, but you're talking about it with people who know the references. So if I'm taking the piss out of Kai Havertz earlier in the year, they all know what, you know, and I'm saying we gave him a pity penalty or whatever it is, and everyone's laughing. I wouldn't say that now, by the way. No. I think he's magnificent.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the best looking players I've ever seen.
Lesson to anyone that makes their mind up after a week. Like, you can't make your mind up. There's some people you can make your mind up.
It was a few months when it wasn't really happening. But anyway, I don't do that much football-based humor. I do football-based humor to football fans.
Right.
But my regular stand-up...
If you're in a particular setting.
Also, I talk about politics in my show, and there's enough to talk about without getting into football as well.
Yeah. So, and we'll talk about the tour that you have coming up. In the fall, which I need to be able to get to when I'm over here again. But who would you think would be the comedians in the current squad? I mean, we've seen a lot of I would differentiate comedians with jokers and clowns. We've seen a lot of jokers and clowns in our club.
We know who we're talking about. It's Ben White. Ben White has got to me. He just likes a wind up, and that is comics. Comics would be the ones standing behind the goalkeeper pulling on their gloves. I can imagine it. We were talking about other things he could do. He could undo laces.
I did. Yeah, I heard that.
Stupid stuff. That's what comics do. I think. I think Ben White. There's others. Are there others? I don't know. I mean,
I got to think Ramsdale before he got sad.
Rambo likes a bit of before he got sad. That's right. Pre-sad Ramsdale. Yeah, other than that, are there any jokers in the team?
I'm not sure there are. We had a lot of jokers in the team before, and it wasn't really working on the pitch. I mean, you had your Aubameyangs, you had your Oxlade-Chamberlain and Frimpong, and I mean, those guys were hilarious on little
I prefer this.
Outtakes.
I prefer this now. Yeah. I really, really do.
Leave
the comedy to the professionals. Same thing again. I don't try and play football. I'd look like an idiot. I do try and play football. But not at this level. I can't. 11 aside, I mean, the pitch, you just go, this is enormous. There is a lot of space on here. Because I play five aside on a Monday night in what I call the Fat Jew game. Right, which is me and a number of other overweight Jews. I'm one of the thinner ones, to be honest with you. And there's a lot of shouting and pointing and a little bit of running, but I hurt myself this week, so I'm limping about. Anyway, I think
defibrillators abound. And, I mean,
there's two doctors and a surgeon.
I was about to say there's doctors and lawyers basically half the team. So
it's absolutely fine. We had someone who actually had a heart attack, and one of the other players saved him. I mean, I'm not even joking
about something.
He ended up having a triple bypass, but luckily we had a couple of players who stopped and gave him emergency first aid. So. I'll tell you who else. Saka. I reckon Bukayo is pretty funny. I mean, he's such a sharp guy.
I think he's really grown into his own like person. Like you almost saw in the Amazon documentary that he still kind of was shy, unassuming.
I've only watched one
episode. Could you not bring yourself to watch it?
No, you know what it was? The Amazon documentary was about a very sad leading up to the very sad period at the end of that.
You knew how it ended.
And I knew how it ended, and I didn't want to watch that ending when we got battered at Newcastle and battered at Spurs. And we were doing really well when that came out. And I thought, I'm not really interested in the past, particularly a season that ended like that.
That's a lot of self-control to avoid that. But I mean, I was worried about it. And then when I watched it, I think it really enlightened a lot of people at the time who weren't enlightened about Mikel Arteta.
Well, I think that is true. But I was pretty on board with Mikel, not the whole time, I'll be honest with you. But by then, I certainly was. And I've heard Bukayo talking about this team and how they keep learning. They're learning and they keep learning. And because they were talking about, I think Martin Keown interviewed him last year on TV and talked about how they learned from the season before. And Bukayo said, oh, it's like three or four seasons we've been learning. I thought, yeah, you have. And you're right, he's grown into it. He has. But I think he's been super bright since he was about five. I think he's awesome.
It's not a matter of brightness. It's a matter of kind of knowing your place in the team and living it. And I just, it's the transformation. And we're seeing 90 to 180 minutes a week of his life, plus whatever they show from practice.
Yeah, but you know he lives it right. You know
we do. But I mean, I'm saying from that limited view, you can tell that he's just maturing. He's matured. He's
great. He's great to watch.
He's not a wonder kid anymore. He's not a starlet, which is, I hate when they call them starlets. But like he's a man and he's acting like it on the pitch. He's acting like it in the dressing room, I would imagine. And it's just an amazing thing that we get to watch.
I reckon Declan's pretty funny as well, by the way. I think Declan could be pretty funny. I mean, I genuinely like don't know. I mean, Jorginho. He's the other one, Jorginho. They all seem to love Georgie, and I think he's a pretty funny guy. I get that feeling. Listen,
anyone who like hops up like that when he's taking a penalty. I mean, you don't do that unless you have a little bit of a sense of humor about yourself.
Maybe that's what it is.
So I know you were recently in Munich for for our game against Bayern, and you travel to away games. Are you generally going to away games, Europe, domestically a lot? And when you go, are you traveling as a supporter or are you kind of, is it a work plus support type of?
No. I get carried in a litter now. It's really nice. I get people to spread rose petals and I'm sort of taken towards the stadium and I can hear this sort of, music. I used to go to away games all the time. I mean, I did, I think, what season? 1979-80, when we played 69 games and ended up ballsing it up in the last two against Wolves and Middlesbrough. I went to 65 of those. I don't go to many away games now because I can't get tickets for them. But if I can, I'll go to as many as I can. And I go to as many home games as I can. Europe, I haven't done so many trips. But Munich's such a great city. And I said to my son, Alexander, who comes with me, should we? And he went, yeah, go on then. And we had a great time, except for the result.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it was a brilliant time. And
Munich's a great
as often is the case, even in Porto, the game's always the worst part of the away day. But, speaking of celebrities coming to the away games and just standing in the away crowd, someone pointed out to me on Sunday that Matt Lucas, right?
Yeah, Matt was there.
Matt was there literally two rows behind me. And I so wanted to, walk up to him and stuff. But that's not why you go to the football.
You're not there star spotting. We all know we're just there for the game. And people sort of recognize me from maybe a bit of stand-up or the podcast or whatever. And it's quite nice. But people are just stony and they're waving hello and that's it. And I don't really want to.
And someone who doesn't like being recognized and approached at football.
There may be a few.
And he's someone that you know and have worked with very well on a particular podcast. And
there may be. That may be the case. But you know what? In the end,
you have to respect that. I mean,
but it's going to happen. It's going to happen because it's a tight-knit sort of family. It's a little community, isn't it? And people know each other. And so I don't mind. I think it's. I really like going to Arsenal and saying hello to people. I genuinely do.
Yeah, me too. I mean, when people come up to me and they say hello, and you know,
I'll come and say hello next time I see you.
Please do.
You're not. Are you Mike?
Yeah, you're that guy from the. You're the American that does the thing.
Yeah,
because no one actually watches, so they don't. I mean, they don't know what it's called. But one thing about your trip to Munich, though, I was watching a bit that you did about, and I was dying, by the way, about how silly it is when you take pictures of your food.
Oh yeah.
And how absurd that would have been to do that in the 70s.
Yes,
I think you were just going down to things that wouldn't have happened in the 70s.
Yes.
And I'm not going to even try to hijack the bit.
I thought you were going to do my bit to me.
No, I'm not going to do your bit to you.
No, don't do my bit to me.
I'm not doing
my bit to you at this point.
I'm not asking you to do that.
Go on Instagram, Ian Stone Comedy. You can see all the bits.
Yes, right? They're all out. The gist of the bit was, you know, that you'd have to take a picture and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then it would be a week old. But then I go on your Instagram and I see a picture of what was it? A schnitzel.
That's, you know what? That is
was that kind of a nod to your own piece, or did you just slip up and take a picture of your food?
Well, I would say neither. It wasn't, I wasn't thinking about that bit at the time. And no, but also I was thinking, I'm in Germany. I've just had a schnitzel. I think people should see that schnitzel. I mean, I don't slag off people who take photos of their food. I was just saying how difficult logistically it would be to do that in the 1970s. And Mike, can I just ask, am I going to have to justify every stand-up I've done?
No. That's okay. The only one. That
okay, fair enough. You obviously, you were saying, and there's something I want to ask him about that.
Well, I was looking through your Instagram.
Well, I appreciate
it. It was just the sequence where initially I saw that bit, and then I saw the shit. So I'm like,
yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, leave it to me. Just pull up the guest who's nice enough to come over to my home. So let's talk about the Tuesday Club a little bit. Originally called It's Up for Grabs Now, referencing the greatest moment of my sporting life. I have to put the word sporting in there because I think my wife is watching.
No, but yeah, okay. It was a great moment.
Now, you were an original with Alan Davies and the rest of the crew. How did that podcast come together? I'm sure you've told the story before. And what was the dynamic and kind of the cadence? Obviously, it's become less frequent as time has gone by. But tell us a little bit about how that experience has been for you, because it clearly, I mean, it rocketed up to, you know, top level, top 50 overall podcasts pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, look, we didn't get paid basically at all. That through all the time we did it, we did one live show. I think I got a couple hundred quid, and it was, I think, the most fun I've ever had doing anything. I mean, there were times
across,
yeah. Well, I think in the end, it's about chemistry, right? Me, Alan, Keith, Tayo, we've all known each other a long time, Damien as well. We've known each other a long time. Damien and Tayo, I met down there in the West Stand when they used to sit behind us and they came and talked to us. And Alan and Damien knew each other from years back. So I think chemistry is what it's about. And so it doesn't really matter if you like football. We had people who weren't football fans. We had people who were fans of other teams. I think even Tottenham fans actually were listening to us because, one, we've got Alan who's just, I mean, when he went off on one, good or bad, it was a thing to behold. I mean, I think I've got some game when it comes to stand-up and articulacy when it comes to being angry or funny, but I genuinely believe he's another level. And when I watched him, I mean, there was a serious one when Rambo had his leg broken by that idiot Shawcross. And that was a tough night because I had to do gigs that night and I was really upset about it because Rambo wore the same number as my son when he started playing, right? Number 16. And then we did a podcast on the couple of days after, and Alan did a 10-minute rant, and me and Keith were sat there just watching him in awe of how beautiful.
Did it just come out? I mean, like,
yeah. He's got that ability. It's incredible. And he did prepare, but essentially it was just out it came. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. But there were also times when he was so funny and when Keith was so funny. And that I think in the end also, we didn't get in each other's way too much. There were times when Alan was doing his thing and I'd chip in and then Keith would say something mad and we would be laughing at it for 10 minutes. And it was a joy to do. And we sort of began to realise that people were really into it. And because people were coming up to us regularly. Love the Tuesday. Love Up for Grabs. Love the Tuesday Club. And it's just nice to be part of something like that. It is, especially about something you love.
Do you find that that is falling apart now as far as what is popular on media? I mean, people like to see controversy now. People like to see hot takes and you know, well-spoken rants and passion and that sort of thing. And I worry that, I mean, obviously when it's done well, it's still popular. And there are some podcasters and content creators out there who are magnificent at holding an audience with not positive from a pro Arsenal or pro Arteta or any of that way, but just positive, fun content that isn't just constantly polarizing.
I don't like all that. I mean, I don't like all that in life and I don't like all that in football. I genuinely don't, but there are plenty of good comedy podcasts out there. You know, Have a Word Pod up, the boys up north, Adam and Dan, do a brilliant podcast and they get loads and loads of people listening to them. It's just, as far as I can tell, just them
football.
No,
that's kind of what I mean. Like more in the footballing space, it seems that the quality banter and the fun stuff is falling out of favor.
No, you know, I don't listen. I hope Handbrake. I'm wrong. People are still listening to Handbrake, the one that I do now on the Athletic. People,
and that's why I say if you do it the right way and you have the right people, that's fine. But it's I guess I'm just complaining that when I try to be funny, no one watches. I guess that's what.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
I'm available for Handbrake off though.
I'll talk to the others.
Yes.
I'll talk to the others.
Oh, but no, yeah. They'll definitely say no.
But the Tuesday Club was a moment in time and one of the most fun things I've ever been involved in. And I'm proud to be part of it, genuinely.
And how does the once or twice a season now podcast, I mean, how does that come up? Is it just Alan basically calling the three of you and saying?
I didn't do the last couple. I didn't do the last couple, but it's basically Alan puts a thing out, anyone fancy, and they or we do another one. But it's an irregular thing. I think it had its time, and whether it'll ever sort of be weekly again, it's down to Al, really. It's down to Al, but, we had a good laugh while it was happening.
And what is a weekly and sometimes more than once a week podcast, Handbrake Off.
Yeah.
When The Athletic began, I just was fascinated by the people that they got. I mean, you want to talk about team building and what Arsenal's done and Arteta and Adu have done. I mean, Athletic, whether you love The Athletic or you don't, whether most people would not, only because it costs money. But it's worth it in my mind because the writing is amazing. The podcasts, which you don't have to pay for, are amazing. And, Amy, of course, is the linchpin to that. But James, incredible humorist and writer, Art Darash.
Adrian as well.
And I mean, it just works. And so how did that come to be, though? Because, it's mostly journalists and writers for The Athletic who are also on the podcast. But you're the constant. You're the host every week. And you don't, as far as I know, write for The Athletic. So did they just approach you? Was it?
Yeah,
me that came.
No, they came to me. Tom, who produced it early on, or who decided we were going to do it, came to me and asked me if I'd like to present it. And I mean, I was a bit scared, to be honest with you, particularly after the Tuesday Club. I thought, how can we follow this? But I love Amy and I love James and Adrian. I've got to know, and I've got to know Art. And I just try and make it as not crazy as possible, right? I mean,
the pace is high. There's a lot of and you draw some great comedy out of Amy.
Oh no,
amazing stories out of Amy. And I'm not saying it's hard to draw a comedy out of Amy. She's funny, but she's also very, very elitely literate and great with prose.
I sort of look at her as like the soul of the club. I know she would sort of getting slightly embarrassed, but it's just the way she talks about it, the love she has for it. And I sometimes get lost in it. And I know other people do as well. I went to some game, I think it was Sheffield United earlier in the season. I met someone and we were stuck in the crowd for some reason, and she was talking to me about Amy, and she said, I just love the way she speaks about the club. But I love the way James speaks about the club. I like the way Adrian, it gives us the perspective of an ex-player, someone who played the game, and R is younger than us. So I like that generational thing as well.
Yeah, it's a nice mix.
And I do think it's a nice mix. But, you know, again, if somebody would have said to 14-year-old me, when you grow up and you're like a grown up, you're going to be getting paid to talk about Arsenal. What? That is ridiculous. I mean, I do a football show on TNT, but that's just general football chat, and that's brilliant as well. It's a telly show, but to get paid to talk about Arsenal twice a week with people who really know and love the club. Listen, it's a privilege.
It's the dream.
It is. And it's a privilege, and I'm thankful.
Are you going to leave on a Bosman and go to another podcast, or are you into that for as long as you?
As long as they'll have me, I'll do it. I mean, can you imagine how much fun it is to talk about the team right now? You can. You know how much fun it is to talk about the team right now. I mean, listen, there are times when maybe it doesn't go so well. The end of last season was difficult.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's difficult. But
that's where the gallows humor comes in, I guess.
That is where the gallows humor comes in, and also where you don't want to be podcasting 10 minutes after the end of after the final whistle has blown. You need a bit of space just to gather your thoughts. Also,
get that? I mean, is there a regular schedule?
Yeah, we usually do it on the Monday.
Okay.
So we got a couple of days. I mean, after Munich, we did it the next day. But even still, you've had a bit of a sleep and you've had time to just take it in. I couldn't. Straight after the Tottenham game, I was inarticulate. I mean, my heart didn't stop beating for about 15. Well, it carried on beating, but it didn't stop thumping for about 15 minutes. I looked across at my son, and he just raised his eyebrows at me. And we both thought, well, this is ridiculous. But I was in no fit state to broadcast. I also, by the way, couldn't have done a gig at that point. Yes. I'd have been burbling. I did have to do a gig.
Do you move the gigs around sometimes when the schedule comes out and you
have to? I'm trying not to gig on nights when we're playing. Obviously, they move things around.
By Saturday night and Sunday night. I mean, that'd be a prime gig.
Saturday night, certainly. They moved the Wolves game. I had to gig on Saturday night. Do you see the thing on Twitter the other day? It was about some guy who just got married. And he came out with his wife, and his dad score. Went 3-0. And everyone goes, isn't that great? And honestly, I thought, what is he doing? What is he doing scheduling a wedding for the weekend of Arsenal Tottenham? I mean, I know it was originally scheduled for the Saturday, but you know it can be moved to the Sunday. It's a TV game. Mate, you've got...
possible that they were scheduled more than a year in advance.
Give it 3 weeks. It'd be the end of the season. They get married in June. I mean, come on. So as much as everyone went, oh, isn't that great? I thought, man, I'm not sure I could be your friend.
Yeah. I mean, I had the Arsenal Middlesbrough 0-0 draw in 2016 ruined for me at my son's bar mitzvah because, you know, I'm like, don't tell me the score. And then they're like,
you don't want it, yes.
I'm like, is this a score, or are you giving me some other sort of message?
I am. On my bar mitzvah, I wanted to go and see Arsenal Sheffield United, and my mum wouldn't let me go. And I said, why can't I go to the game? She said, it's your bar mitzvah. I said,
that was the
one
this year?
Thank you. I mean, I try and keep myself, my skincare regime. You know, 1976, Arsenal played Sheffield United at home, and my mum wouldn't let me go because it was my bar mitzvah. And I said, I've done it. It's in the morning. She said, God will be watching. And I said, well, at least he gets to see the game. Anyway.
Oh, my God. You mentioned a live show, and you've done a Handbrake Off live show and at the Leicester Square Theater, no less. And, you know, I know James has done a lot of live Arsplug
stuff.
He's done The Boxer.
I've seen The Boxer.
And saw that in Soho when it was right before COVID.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. Yeah. And Amy, of course, has hosted things at the Barbican. And I mean, she's always the panel host for all the 80s Arsenal stuff.
Well, it's her or Tom Watt.
Yeah.
It's her or Tom Watt. But I've seen her do stuff. So she's happy to be out in front of an audience.
And you're no stranger, of course, to an audience.
No,
doing stand up, but how was kind of doing the podcast in front of an audience? Was it a different?
It was fantastic. I mean, first of all, I don't want to keep going back to this, but it is a source of some amazement to me that people want to listen to me talking about Arsenal. Right now, the truth is, they want to listen to Amy and James and the rest of them. Well, as this one, maybe I got some game in that sense, but it was a joy to walk out. There's 400 Arsenal fans. Everybody cheers. I do a bit of stand up just to warm them up, you know. And that's the time when you can do football humour. We were talking. We did a show. We did a sort of a TNT football show, we were talking about the fact that there was possibly going to be a terrorist attack on the Emirates Stadium a couple of weeks ago in the Bayern Munich game. Yeah. And I'm thinking, not now, not 3 years ago, I'd have offered, you could have had Mustafi and David Luiz, but not now, we're really good. You can make those sort of jokes, you can, football do, because people, yeah, it's just a gag, right? But yeah, to walk out at this, at Leicester Square Theatre, is packed, and everyone wants to talk about Arsenal. I'm going to sit there with my mates.
I was gutted not to be able to be there. I was there the month before. Please.
We're doing another one. I'll let you know.
Please do, because of course. I will schedule a time to be over here to not miss that.
Yeah, but, okay.
And to have you do stand-up prior to that show is much better. And this is no criticism, but the show I went to at the Barbican was the 89 to classical music.
It take a while to get going.
Well, there was a preamble to, because what it was showing the Anfield game to a specifically composed piece of classical music, which was neat.
Can we turn that down? Put a commentary on. I just want to watch the game.
That was neat. What wasn't neat was the 30 minutes beforehand when there was just a completely unrelated non-Arsenal,
about what?
Classical music piece.
Oh, right. Okay.
And they didn't tell us that there was going to be like a whole long thing before this. So we're sitting there like, when does Arsenal come in?
No. Listen, I know how to.
I would have rather had you do stand up and then the 89 to the music thing.
I know how to host an event. I've done lots of them, right? If you're booking, I'm available. But except on Arsenal game nights, obviously, and I'd rather not. But you want to just set the mood in the right way, make sure everyone's happy and seated and facing the right way, and they don't need the loo, and you have a bit of a laugh with them, and then you introduce the rest of them, and you get on doing the stuff that they listen to on a weekly basis. So.
It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Another beautiful thing. We've got 300 in the chat, and I've always got topics that I want to get to and don't have time to get to because the conversation is just too good. But what I don't want to jeopardize is the ability to get some of these great questions asked for.
Let's do the questions.
So we are now going to go to your questions, and the questions are brought to you.
These ideas.
It's just so stupid. That's kind of my thing.
I wouldn't open with it.
Yeah.
No. In what comics would say to each other.
The questions are brought to you by, of course, the Highbury Squad and the Zenith Coins. This is a great promo that I'm doing when I can't remember the name of the sponsors. It is the Zenith Coin question segment. Support the future, treasure the past. Visit zenithcoins.com and use code HSNB10 for 10% off of your purchase. As you can see on the scroll at the bottom, you can also visit Ruth Beck Art, which will be coming up on the scroll in just a little bit, and grab some of the amazing art that we have up in this apartment and that she's got on her website. So it's buyruthbeckart.com, and you can get 20% off by mentioning the Highbury Squad. So thank you to Ruth for doing that. The first question is one from offline, from my mate, Tom, who is also a co-owner of this flat and a huge fan of The Jam. I don't claim to know anything about The Jam. I know that won't endear me to you, but if you wanted me to ask you, if I had known this, I didn't say I hate them, but... he's asked if, and I'm trying to remember now the name of the Bruce Foxton.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that he's a Tottenham supporter?
I didn't. Well, it does now. I didn't know. I didn't know. I've paid really.
Now it's
your Tottenham. Well, that's changed everything.
I've ruined your entire.
No. Listen, he's entitled to support who he wants. And by the way, he still plays with From the Jam. a Jam tribute act with one original member. Well, it used to be two original members of the Jam, and not Paul Weller. And a lot of people get a lot of pleasure from that band. So does it bother me? No, not particularly, no, because I still think about going to all those gigs. And, you know, it was one of my happy places. So,
yeah, no. Well, it's, I mean, Tom talks about the Jam, and he's connected with people over music, possibly even more than Arsenal. And when you combine the two, it's so.
I mean, not that I want to go on about the stuff that I've done, but if he wants to read my book, I think he'd enjoy it.
Absolutely. And I'll make sure that he sees that. One of the questions that we have, and this is from my good friend Kevin up at Stoke-on-Trent, Demsec asks, Ian, what is your view on fantasy football? And there's a reason he's asking you this.
Well, I was writing on fantasy football. I was writing for Matt and Ellis. So, but are you asking me about the original or the new one?
Just
people, or the idea of it.
The idea of Fantasy Premier League as an Arsenal fan.
I don't get involved with it. Okay. I thought fantasy football was ridiculous when, you know, Barcelona had Messi, Neymar and Suarez playing for them. And I thought, well, you can't have that in a fantasy team because you wouldn't have any defenders, would you, if you had those three in a fantasy team, but you can have them in a real team.
So you don't like the way it works.
Yeah, no, I know the way it works. I understand it, but I...
Oh, no, you know it, but you don't like... That's your beef with it.
I haven't got the bandwidth for it, to be honest with you. I can't be looking at Leicester City's defenders or a midfielder who plays for, I don't know, whoever, Everton, just because I'll get extra points. I don't really give a shit about that. I'm watching the real stuff.
See, it's that and, for me, I'll tell you, recently we were driving back from Burnley from the 5-0 game, and we stopped to get petrol at a station where there was a restaurant, and we go inside, and it was on the way back was Manchester City Chelsea, the game where Chelsea nearly won it.
Yeah.
And I think they ended up drawing.
The 4-4.
No,
the other one. No, the other
one.
2-2
or something like that. Or 1-0, and then it became 1-1. But in any case, we're watching it, and Rodri scores at the very, very end, 87th minute or something like that. And there's this guy who just happened to come over, and he's wearing an Arsenal top. He's on his way home as well, and he's peeking over our shoulder, and he's like, who got the goal for Manchester City? And we said, Rodri. And he's like, well, at least I have him on, you know, started him on my fantasy team. And if he wasn't like 6'5" and 270 pounds, I would have tried to end that. That is not what I want to hear in a title race where I don't need our positive energy of any kind about our biggest rivals for the title. I get that all the time. Where, I started solid today. Double captain.
Yeah, who cares?
Whatever.
Is there, if you get fantasy points for Rodri getting injured?
Yeah. I would play. Injury fantasy.
Yeah. But you can't be betting or have any interest in any other team.
That's the way.
Or betting against your own team. So
everyone's always like, oh, but I don't, you know, I care more about Arsenal. I don't care. There shouldn't be any little corner of your body that is interested in Rodri scoring an equalizer instead of losing again. So thank you, Kevin, for that. Ruth, we're going to get Ruth's there. What is your best heckle response? And I know one of the websites I was doing some research on indicated how comfortable you are with the banter, I guess, with people in the crowd. And I gave an example of it where the guy asked you, was that real? And
that one, that's right. I have.
Like, I'll tell you, that was when you said you were good at, you were just strolling. Like you're not even a comedian. You were just strolling home and you ended up on stage.
I do like messing around. The best moment I ever had, I mean, I tell this story just because I like the sound of it. Honestly, it does make me look good. But essentially, I said to this guy in the front row, I said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm an engineer. And I said, what sort of engineer? And he said, I wouldn't understand. And I said, try me. And he said, supersonic gas solutions. And I went, expialidocious, right? Instantly. Now, what you've got to understand about that moment, it's beautiful, right? Poetry. Don't get me wrong. I was like, whoa.
That must feel like doing cocaine. I don't know what that feels like, but just the high that you get in that
it's
moment of coming up with
it. It's much, much better. Let me tell you, there's nothing like that moment. I even got a clap from the booze, from the sound man, who went, oh, nice one, Stormy. I thought, yeah, you're absolutely right. But it's music. It's music. It's comedy. When it's like that, it's music to me. So, you know, when I used to watch The West Wing, and I love The West Wing, yeah, Aaron Sorkin's dialogue is music. That's how I hear it. So that's, it's a rhythmic thing. And the way he came out with it, it just fitted with me. That also works for, I think he got done for a terrorist attack. What was his name? There's an Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who I think was the leader of ISIS, possibly, or someone in that. Also works with expiations as well. But anyway, yeah, that's probably the best moment I've ever had.
Oh, that's that fantastic. One.
Yeah.
We have a question from Sophie, who's our
Hi, Sophie.
Squad. Sophie asks, has Ian ever experienced his own baby reindeer? And for some reason, I'm not getting that reference, but I have a feeling.
I only watched the first episode the other day. A comedian got stalked. That's what it's about.
Okay.
Yes. You know what? This is a little unfair, but there's an 84-year-old bloke in Manchester who comes to the gig every time I'm there. I mean, and it's got to the point where he's like, oh, you fancy a lift? I'll give you a lift somewhere. Yeah. I'll take you. And I'm thinking, no, this is just weird. This whole thing is weird. And I've started avoiding him a little bit. I mean, I don't think he'd be listening, bless him. Again, he's a nice old guy, you know, but every time I'm in Manchester, he's at the gig. I mean, I'm not joking, for about the last 10 years.
Well, have you started looking for him now? Like, when you get on stage, do you peek from backstage, like, is my guy there?
No, because what will happen is I'll turn up, and the guy who runs the gig that I regularly do,
guys, he's here again. I'm having deja vu from something I watched recently where maybe it was on Saturday Night Live or something, but there was like a stalker, and it was a Kevin Hart thing,
right?
And there was a stalker, and then for some reason the guy got worried because the guy wasn't stalking him anymore.
Oh right, okay.
I don't remember what it was, but
it's a weird thing. And if you're thinking about, if you've seen me and you absolutely adore me, don't keep bothering me. I mean, thank you. You can send me a message once or twice, but that's as much as, you know what I mean?
Well,
I mean,
right then.
Could you please do that? I just want people to know. But no, I've never had baby reindeer. I haven't watched any more than one, so I don't know how it goes, but I think it gets pretty messy. But I, to be honest, I watched the first one, and my general feeling was, what is he doing? What, can't you see what is happening here? So I went on to Ripley, and that also is a little bit concerning about human nature, but no, Sophie, not really.
Interesting. That's a great question. 400 in the chat right now watching Matthew D'Souza get his question answered. Says, Ian, I remember your days on Capital Radio with Ian Wright. Was that your first encounter with Wrighty, and have you ever felt intimidated working with Arsenal legends? Good question.
Well, okay. It was Absolute. I should make that clear, rather than Capital. It was Absolute Radio. But what happened was commercial radio.
Can we boot him from the
No, chat stop now? It. Stop it. It's a really nice thing to ask. The producer who was working on the show had got Wrighty, and he'd worked with me on Fighting Talk, which was on Radio 5 years before. And he thought that me and Wrighty would work well together. The first week I was in there, my missus listened to it, and she said to me, you did sound a little bit like, oh my God, am I going to see him right? But what happened was that very quickly, it just became, oh, he's Wrighty. Because the thing about Wrighty...
That had a lot to do with him as well, because
to do with him.
Including today, I get intimidated sometimes by the people that I'm talking to and their stature in the community and that sort of thing. And the one thing about everybody that I've spoken to is that they're so welcoming. And I mean, you just hit it off with them and it goes away very, very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we had a common love of Arsenal, me and Roy. He's funny. I think he's an icon, right? He was the first black player that white kids would have his name on the back of the shirt. I've heard this from various people, right? He was a huge personality, and he's a gooner. So obviously I knew all about him, and I watched him score over 100 of his goals. I'd have been in the stadium to see him. So the first week it was exciting, it was, but after that he's just right and we're just chatting, and I made him laugh. And then about 6 months into our relationship, and people were really enjoying the show on Absolute, and then about 6 months into our relationship, he said to me, what are you doing tonight? I said, I'm doing a comedy store down the road. Do you want to come? And he went, yeah, I'll come along. And he comes along, and I ripped the shit out of it in the first 10 minutes. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you're, you know, and he knew that anyway, but it made it a slightly more equal partnership. But
he saw you as the icon in that environment.
Well, he knew that I knew what I was doing when it came to stand up, and I used to make him laugh, and we had a great time, and we watched some games in there after the show. We watched the Wigan semi-final when went on off Mertesacker.
Kallstrom with the penalty kick.
I think that was
the
when
one
we won.
Thing he did.
Yeah, that's right.
2014.
It was another one of those things like the podcast that you're working with, right, an icon, and we're still pals. I mean, it's brilliant, and I'm delighted to know.
Of course. So any other Arsenal legends that kind of...
Dicko, I get on very well with Lee Dixon.
He's got a specific sense of humor.
Yeah, but he's like a comic.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a comic. I know he gets some abuse, but you know what? I love him.
He's getting a lot of stick from the States because, I mean, he's our number one, the color commentator / pundit.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Along with Peter Drury on Saturdays. On the American.
Not everyone likes him.
Well, Arsenal fans, I mean, I know a lot of close friends of mine who just have had enough
really
with him. And I stand up for Lee because I know for a fact that he's a proper gooner, that he supports the team, that he is very much going out of his way to not be a Gary Neville and a Jamie Carragher and the just overt, and of course, like Jamie O'Hara and those guys. He's trying not to do that, and sometimes it comes across as though he's got an axe to grind, and he doesn't.
People get wound up about this stuff way more than I do. I don't really care.
It's a thing to.
There's so much
to worry about, and yet this is a thing.
Yeah. I care more about how the team's doing than what pundits we got.
that's probably the right way. So what we learned from that is Matthew, it was Absolute Radio, not Capital.
Sorry, I felt like I admonished you there. I didn't mean that.
Another question from Demsec. Who's your favorite goalkeeper and why?
Who's my favorite goalkeeper? You know what? I mean, Pat Jennings was... I grew up... I mean, we had Bob Wilson when I first started going. Jimmy Rimmer in the mid-70s. But when we got Big Pat and he stayed for 7 years... Because Tottenham thought he was done, and he comes to us, and he was so brilliant. And I used to stand behind the goal in the North Bank, and he'd have one-on-ones, and he'd keep saving them, and he'd pluck the ball out of the air one-handed. I mean, he was the one I sort of really connected to. Obviously, Dave Seaman, obviously, Jens Lehmann.
Have you heard the news about Jens Lehmann? Just 20 minutes before we got together.
No, what's happened?
He has nothing wrong.
Okay.
He has secured somehow the Invincibles trademark.
Has he?
Like a month before the 20th anniversary.
I didn't know there was an Invincibles trademark.
Well, I mean, you'd think that the team would have, but somehow they
Jens Lehmann has got it.
Jens Lehmann now.
You know what? Jens Lehmann was one of the Invincibles.
Well, yes, he is.
No, that's okay. As long as somebody's got it.
As long as he doesn't keep the team from talking about the Invincibles. I mean, you'd think that's, I just think it's so that he can use it without being punished by the team.
As long as he doesn't sell it to Ashley Cole.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be honest, that's a joke, by the way. I love Ashley, and I felt terrible about what happened. And I know Amy found it difficult was the fact that he was the only one that she couldn't speak to. Because of the way it happened, but what a player!
And doesn't it say something that between Pat Jennings, Saul Campbell, the ones who come here from there have had amazing Arsenal careers. The ones that go the other direction, well, I mean, what we got? Adebayor, we got.
It's Tottenham, isn't it?
Gallas,
I mean, the gift that keeps on giving.
It's amazing.
It's this is not just in Britain. People know this. Chiellini goes on telly and said, well, Spurs are Spurs.
Somehow Martin Odegaard if somehow he engineered a transfer to Spurs, he would suddenly just be awful. No doubt he would no longer be Martin Odegaard. He would change his name.
Let's not imagine that.
Yeah, no, I do not want to imagine that. So got a couple more. Do you have a few more minutes?
Yeah.
Beautiful. From Bobby, what is the one situation you've seen in a football match that would have made for a good comedy skit? That one takes some thought.
Would have made what? Well, I mean, I don't know. It depends what sort of comedy you're looking for. I remember Jamie Carragher getting a coin thrown at him and throwing it back. And the chances, I was questioning, what are the chances of him hitting the bloke who threw the coin at him?
I didn't even think about it.
I mean, yeah, no, well, I just thought of it. But I was, yeah,
Did he hit the guy? Do we know?
Well, what are the chances? I mean, it's. I mean, first of all, if
he probably took out some elderly woman.
Well, obviously, you're saying elderly woman because that would obviously be the worst case scenario, wouldn't it? Or one of the worst case scenario. If he hit like a, if he got the bloke back, right? So the guy throws a coin at him and he throws it back at him. That's almost too perfect for comedy, to be honest. He wants to, the bloke has to duck and he has to hit an elderly woman who's standing behind him, who's a massive fan of Jamie Carragher. That's the difference. That's how comedy works, I think, really.
That's the difference between an amateur and a professional, right?
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So I guess the Cantona, that wouldn't have been that funny, but
I thought he did the right thing. No, I thought he did the right thing. I mean, the bloke's he's being racist and horrible. Yeah. And Eric, you know, I mean, listen, I didn't like him because he played for Man United, but at that point, I'm cheering him on. Of course.
Yeah, more power too. I think there should be more of that. Okay. Well. That's because I don't have seats in the first two rounds. Question about impressions. You don't really do impressions, do you?
No.
So I would imagine you don't do a Jeff Goldblum impression.
I do impressions of every other middle-aged Jew. Okay. Not Jeff Goldblum, no. Although I have. Somebody did say I look like a young, and I thought, no, I don't.
I can see that.
No, I don't. It's a juicy.
More handsome, though, than he is.
Oh, course, please.
All right, so we've got a couple more.
Yeah.
Melvin, who I absolutely adore. I more than likely will be having lunch with him tomorrow.
Right.
He is not a middle-aged Jew. He's well past that. He's like the elderly woman, but a male and Jewish. And he wants to know, could you ask Ian for his favorite match at Highbury? That's narrowing down.
Do you know what? It's not even. There are some great matches at Highbury, but it's more the moments, I think. It's more the moments. I mean, I remember standing out there when I was 9 and Ajax came, Johan Cruyff and all that lot, and in the quarterfinal of the European Cup, and Johan Cruyff put the ball down in front of us. And honestly, the whole crowd went, oh,
that was before Velcro existed.
That was he just essentially caught the ball on the inside of his foot, and you didn't see players do that often. The way they played, and I remember that favorite match. Oh my god! It's, do you know what, Melvin? There's so many great moments. You know what? I love a moment I actually loved was one year when we played Villa here, and Villa had won the title. And so they were obviously celebrating down the clock end, but Pele came on the pitch and he ran round the pitch and all 60,000 people stood up and gave him a round of applause.
He with Villa at the time?
No. Yeah, he was in the reserves. He was in the Villa reserves.
He was an unused sub.
I think we should pick Pele this week. I think he'd be great. He was an unused sub. But he ran round the pitch. Moments. That's what I'm talking about. When the bloke who, you know, we used to have a police band. Who marched around? Do you know this?
No,
before we had, I don't know, music through the speakers, we had a police marching band who used to play music. You're looking at me like I'm mad. I'm not. Melvin, you know this is true.
Melvin will know this.
A lot of people under 50.
My Arsenal experience begins in the fall of 1988.
We had a police marching band, and every time we'd get in front of the North Bank, the bloke with the baton would throw it up in the air, and he'd catch it. And one time, he dropped it.
How many times did you wait for him to drop?
Well, every time. I mean, it was the only time he ever dropped it, but that happened here. I also remember a game when Sammy Nelson, scored a goal against Brighton, I think it was, and then dropped his shorts in front of the North Bank. That's what I remember. Sorry, it's not a specific game, Bill.
Just collate all those together into one mashup.
What a day.
And that would be the day.
Yeah.
My favorite, and I wasn't even able to be here to see it because I think I was done something wrong and my mom wouldn't let me come, but the fight with Norwich in 1990.
Yeah, and I saw that game before.
It was like a 4-3 or a 5-3.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was high scoring. There was fights. Yeah, I mean, it had everything that you would want.
Absolutely.
And that was the one Arsenal game that season at home that I couldn't go to. And I still don't forgive my mother for that. But
it's all right. Henri or Bergkamp?
Yeah. I didn't want to do a third one from Kevin, but because I enjoy him, Henri or Bergkamp?
I can't possibly. But you know what? Thierry Henry says Dennis Bergkamp. So I'll say Dennis Bergkamp.
And does Dennis Bergkamp say Dennis Bergkamp as well? Or does he? I mean, because if it goes back and forth, then it offsets.
Yeah, no, it does.
And you have to go to Ian Stone for the
time. Well, I'd say Dennis. Dennis, I think it's got to be.
My answer to Henri or Bergkamp is always David Rocastle.
Yeah. I mean, there are other players as well, but Dennis is the best player I've ever seen play for Arsenal.
Yeah. And we're going to finish with this one, possibly controversial, but from Rob Red. What do you think about the new away kit? Have you seen the leaked photos, which appear to be genuine? Have you seen the new kit?
Also a thing I don't get excited about if they're playing for us. I mean, look, I have to say.
Do you hate that there's three new kits every single season?
Of course, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I don't generally indulge. I mean, I buy the old one. I bought the black one or the dark blue. I really like that one. But I don't buy many kits. I mean, the yellow, the fluorescent one, well.
This season.
I mean, I know. That was the thing. I was thinking, I don't know. I probably wouldn't buy that myself. But, God, we've been good in it. We have spanked
the opposite of the green one. The green one, we've just been.
But I like the green one more. The green ones,
yeah, I like the green one more, too. But I've associated it now with losing.
I like.
It's like that mint green jersey from a few years ago. I've associated it with losing. And there's nothing to that, but
listen, it's the guys, the fact that we've got the blokes, we've got the moment inside those jerseys. That's what I like.
All right. Well, that was a
sorry to be dismissive, but
We do have one more question.
Oh, yeah.
And because it's Sophie's.
Yeah.
It's the Kentucky Derby back in the States this weekend in good old Kentucky. My horse, Sophie's horse, would be called Gunning for Glory. What would Ian call his horse?
Brady, something about Brady, Chippy Brady.
Brady's.
Yeah, Brady's dream. Brady's, no, I call it Brady's left foot. That's what I call it. Because it was a thing of beauty. And obviously I saw Charlie George win the FA Cup in 1971. I wasn't there, but I remember watching it on TV. And I liked Charlie, even though it worried me that he went to Holloway Boys School, which is a school that basically terrorised my school in Camden. But Liam Brady was the first true hero. So Brady's left foot is what I call a horse.
All right, beautiful. And I would bet on that horse. And we have reached the end, everyone. Almost 500 people in chat. I love every one of you that's in here. Thank you for the great comments, for the questions. Ian, of course, can be found on Twitter at Ian D. Stone.
Yes.
You got to put that D in there. Well,
you have for Twitter. You have for Twitter.
I just said you got to put that D in there.
You do. YouTube. You do.
Yeah, but that could be taken in a number of different ways. And I didn't mean it that way. And I'm just going to assume the D stands, I mean, given the Jewish thing, it's either Daniel or David.
It's David.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, David. It had to be one of the two.
But the D, I don't use the D on Instagram or TikTok.
Right, it's Ian Stone, Comedy on Instagram and on TikTok.
Yes.
And we have... Now to talk about this, we want to talk about the Keeping It Together tour. I know for those of you watching that's too small print to see when the shows are, but if you go to ianstonecomedian.co.uk.
Yeah, go to my website and it's all the details are there. Basically, it's me touring around the country and it's the first time I've done it. Madly, I've been doing comedy a long time, but I've finally decided.
Not just on kind of a...
No, I've been doing, you do the club gigs. And that's great fun and everything, and I have a good time. But I've been going to Edinburgh the last few years doing my show, and I'll take the show on the road and take it around the country. Wow. See if people in Luton or Grantham or Borden or any of the other 21 places.
And you have a stop, of course, in Manchester for your 84-year-old.
No, I'm avoiding him. No, I just couldn't get the right venue in Manchester, but I'll definitely go there at some point.
I'm sure he would have offered his house. If you had
asked. Yes, he would have done, but I worried about. Anyway, I'm going on tour, and I'm very excited. You know, I'm writing a show, and I think I'm going to have a good time.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it. Because we have this place, I'm over a lot more than I used to be able to come over. And I am going to look at those dates and make sure that we're here for a show because I can't wait to see it. I love your comedy.
Thank you.
Please keep plugged into our socials at the Gooners Pod and at Highbury Squad for announcements about our shows. We likely will be doing one next Thursday. And I will announce the guest as soon as we have him or her. Ian, any
last words or wisdom to impart to our Gunnar family? That's the topic question of all.
I mean, I say it on the pod.
Don't use the word question.
Don't that. I thought that would be obvious. I would say, I mean, I've been saying this on the pod for a while. Just we have to show some appreciation for what we're watching at the moment. I mean, The Invincibles was the best it's ever been. I think we have to acknowledge that. There are five or six players in that team who would get into any team in the world now. But right now, what we're watching is something special. We've got a special young manager and a special young team. And I think, you know, don't moan if things don't go quite how we want them. Because we're up against, well, we know what we're up against.
Yeah.
So I think appreciate the moment. Because it doesn't, I've been watching this stuff a long time. It's not always like this.
No, and life is, you know, there's a lot of important things in life. And speaking of one of those, we want to give our heartfelt just support and shout out to our beloved friend, Super Kevin Campbell, as he continues to recover. We know he's been dealing with some health issues lately. We're all worried about him and supportive of him. But Kevin, this one's for you, and we are all praying for you and sending positive thoughts and love your way. Get well. And as always, thank you most of all to our amazing Arsenal chat, our Arsenal community, 500 strong tonight, and we hope to see you again next week when we again travel from Highbury to the Grove.